KJLO 1690 AM. Grade A Explosives is what you are listening to right now. And let's go over what you just heard there. That was some, well, we'll start from the top of the show, shall we? That seems like a good thing. In order to try and transition you from Melodramatic, which is the show directly before this, I played some Marissa Nadler with Thinking of You off of Songs 3, Bird on the Water. Then you got to hear part one of the interview with the fine peoples from Prepare the Ground, the festival happening in Toronto, which this whole show is about. Everything about this show, except for me. Well, I guess I did the interview, so I guess that makes me about this thing. Sure, let's go with that. Then you heard some commercials and some Contravoid off of the latest record, which came out on Friday, Detachment. The track was called How It Ends. And then I thought some Adonis would follow that pretty well with a track called Are We Friends off of Hardboiled and Softboiled. And you see, that's like relating to the first part of the interview where they talk about how they met and they were friends. You see? I planned it all out. I'm very smart. You know, you don't need to take my word for it. Look at the evidence that I just provided you with, a single example of how smart I am. Yeah, that's where we are. I'm giving you one whole example as to how I am smart, sort of. Hey, let's keep going with this interview, shall we? It's long. There are a lot of parts, and I want to try and fit as much bands and obviously the entire interview in this show as I can. So let's keep going with how this interview is going. Going. I said going too many times. You heard part one about how this came to be, the entire festival. Now let's talk a bit more about festivals, especially here in the not eastmost version of Canada, but this kind of like mid-east version, the Ontario, Quebec portion of Canada. So we talk a little bit about that, and then I'll split that up with a track from Botfly, and then we'll talk about what shows are like right now in Toronto, and compare that with what's going on in Montreal. Does sound good? It doesn't really matter if you think that sounds good. I'm going to do it anyway because it's my show, and I'm pre-recording this. So you can't stop me. You can't even come into the studio and stop me. It's already done. Here it is. I'm recording this literally like an hour before the show is supposed to go on. I'm way behind. Anyway, here, part two of the interview with KW and Denim from Prepare the Ground. Keep it locked. Grade A Explosives, CJLO 1690 AM.
Yeah, I was super intrigued because it occurred to me as I've been talking with bands over the last bit that Quebec basically has no large scale loud festivals at all now, because Heavy's gone. I don't know if it's ever.
Well, Heavy's gone. I didn't realize it was gone for a month because it was in Toronto for like a quick instant, yeah, and then immediately they were like, nope.
Like one year, maybe two. There was a rock fest that was over in Montebello. That's gone. So there's not really anything like that here in Quebec. And so I was like, oh, well, it's something is actually happening somewhere close by, not over like out in Vancouver, where of course some things like this can happen. Is there a reason? I mean, you guys are touring people as well. Do you think that there's a reason why particularly, I guess, this part of Canada, Ontario, Quebec doesn't have something like this?
Denon can probably speak more to the logistics of that just because he's so entrenched in the booking. But, like, I mean, we've had things, right? Like, there was North by Northeast had a really good stranglehold in Toronto for a while. Greg at Not Dead Yet did a great job with his festival for a few years. But I think the truth is it's a boatload of work and a significant amount of risk to put on a festival. It's just, it takes a lot. It's a lot of hours. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of communication. It's a lot of organization. And the quote unquote payoff is, if you're looking for a monetary payoff, it's minuscule to none. It has to be a labor of love. And I do believe that the like barrier to entry on doing something like this is pretty large to be able to set up something like this in a multi-venue club crawl style festival. You know, we have 64, 65 bands coming in from I don't know, 6 or 7 different countries. It takes a lot of work. And I think that is probably just to use barrier again, that's probably the biggest barrier to start. I think it can support it. I just think it's also people need to, it's the right way to phrase this. There are certain festivals in the United States who have done things like this or catered to a certain style of heavy music, who have lost people's trust by the way that they have promoted their festivals or who they've booked on their festivals or how they've treated their fans. The names of the festivals aren't important, but that is a thing. It's prevalent. And then you have stuff like, I know it's such a different world, but like Firefest has 2 documentaries about it. And that is the worst case scenario for saying somebody wants to take my money and is promising me an experience. So I think the fear of not earning someone's respect, or on the opposite side, the fear from a promoter's angle of being like, hey, we're going to have to work to show people not only is this going to happen, but they're going to have a good time, is another barrier to entry for doing something like this. And I'm sure Denon can speak more to the logistics of why this doesn't happen more often in Ontario and Quebec specifically.
Yeah, on my end, I think it's just like the sheer cost. Yeah, even like KW said, it's the barrier to entry is already pretty high. It's just a lot of risk, you know, and to be able to take on that amount of loss. A lot of niche festivals seem to, you know, more genre focused festivals seem to really work in other cities. That being said, I don't think it's really been attempted here in a real way. We've had a lot, especially in Toronto, we've had a lot of large, kind of more mainstream geared festivals come in and spend a little too much money in the wrong ways. And then they just kind of eat themselves. We're trying to start small, you know, it's like we're looking at 3,000 people in year one. And, you know, we're only going to kind of build incrementally from there in the way that makes it self-sustaining. And build like long-term with sponsors again. I think a lot of sponsors kind of got afraid of music. So it's like, we're trying to approach festivals a little different in how we built it in Toronto, but sort of in a similar way in how we want it to end up, in that, you know, we want a lot of people having a great time. So yeah, but I think in Toronto especially, it's mostly the big festivals that have come in and out. It looks like they just were too big and was too expensive. I think there's, you know, it's like things like, I think Rolling Loud, did pretty well here in its first year. I don't know if it's coming back, but like there's the occasional thing that kind of works here.
I will just tag on as well. The thing that we're doing is a really specific style of festival, but we've got things like, you know, I think this is the 5th year of New Friends Fest that happens every August in Toronto at the Lithuanian House. And it's a more DIY catered festival, and New Friends DIY, which puts on great shows in the city, does a phenomenal job of that festival year in and year out. It's a single fest. It's a single venue, 2 stages. You don't miss any bands. And there's like credence and love for that style of festival. It's a wholly different beast from this type of multi-venue, all shows going at the same time kind of, you know, the idea is, this is, again, we're small, there's no sense of grandiose here, but like it's the idea of like bringing 1,000 people in and having them take over a city where a bunch of venues are playing the style of music that they want to do. That sense of camaraderie and communities, kind of a hard vibe to do. I would say the Montreal Pooza Fest has done a great job year in and year out of crafting that, you know, like they very much take after the fest in Gainesville,
Florida. Yeah, I was gonna say it's the fest.
It's not dissimilar from, it's a different genre, but it's not dissimilar as a club crawl festival with bringing in different bands each year, catering to a specific group of people, like giving Pooza their flowers. They've done a phenomenal job within their genre. And that would probably be the closest thing to what we do, though we're just kind of a lot heavier skewing and just kind of a different focus. But like Modified Ghost Festival happens in Vancouver every single year, which I believe is 2 venues. I'm not sure. It might just be 1, but Sled Island is another one that happens. Mm-hmm. That's more city focused and arts applications and stuff that go into it. But Canada does have these style festivals. It's just a matter of kind of having them focus. And it seems like I live in Hamilton, Ontario. Denholm's lives in downtown Toronto, on the east end of Toronto. And he is, you know, like really entrenched in the scene there. And specifically in the east. And
I gotta stop this for a second. I don't live on the, I have so many arguments. I live downtown. To some people, I used to live on the west end. To some people, I live at like in Cabbage Town, which to most people is downtown. But to some people who live on the West End, it's the East End. But to the East End, you know, it's downtown.
So just to stay on track with this, so like I said, with Denham living in the East End of Toronto and being really entrenched in the Toronto music community, it just seems like for us, Southern Ontario, specifically Toronto, there's 6 million people in that area. It has the venue infrastructure. It has the population, it has the airports, it has the hotels to be able to sustain a festival that starts out at this size and, like Denholm very eloquently put, grows incrementally. This is a festival that we want to be around for years to come, and the last thing we ever want to do is bite off more than we can chew.
I think I grew up too fast, 'cause I'm always looking to the past, thinking of the things I missed, trying to fill up a list. Not here to impress, I'm just trying to feel less depressed. And I'm not here to impress, I'm just trying to feel less depressed. And I think I grew up too fast, my youth was something that should last. Now I don't want to be in the skin, but it's the one I'm living in. I'm not here to impress, I'm just trying to feel less depressed. And I'm not here to impress, just trying to feel less depressed. And broken hearts cry so loud, and broken hearts cry so loud, and broken hearts cry so loud, and I hear mine over everything else.
Let's talk a little bit about the scene in Toronto, because here in Montreal, I have noticed that AP and BP, of course, before pandemic, after pandemic, as we all struggle to remember something that's still ongoing right now. I found here in Montreal that before the pandemic happened, shows would come through and like people would just be like, I'll go to the next one. Whatever the band is, I'll wait till the next time they show up. And subsequently, there was not as many bands coming through Montreal. Now, one of the things that I noticed was Toronto would seem to get a lot of the bands that we didn't get. And now here post-pandemic, people in Montreal seem to be going out to shows regardless of what it is, just as like a, hey, we lost the ability to do this, we're going to go do it. Is it kind of the same in Toronto? Have you noticed like an uptick in people going, a downtick, say the same flatline? What's kind of the thoughts on people going to shows?
I'm kind of always like impressed at how many people go to shows right now. There are like, the one thing is people don't really take chances, I think, as much as they might in Montreal because of cost of living here. But people, yeah, if it's the right thing, like people just will go and they will spend money on it. And it's kind of a, you know, the world's pretty awful, but it is like the one thing at least I'm happy to see every day is that people are buying tickets and still like spending money to go to a show. So I'm like, when that goes away, then the world for sure is ending. But like this, yeah, I'm like very surprised. I feel like right when the pandemic ended, we kind of had like a Montreal vibe where everybody was going to everything and oh my God, it's open. But now it's more leveled out into no, whatever people really like, they will go to. But yeah, no, not many risk takers, with the exception of like weird dance party nights and stuff. People will risk on those.
Emo night always doing well somehow.
Emo night can, the world will end. And people, there will still be emo night in like whatever, whoever's bunker. Well,
creepy men are always going to need a place to prey on young women. So emo night will always exist. Yeah, that's my addition to the conversation.